Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Who needs a vacation when you can have a vocation? It's a poverty summer, kids.
On record, by far, the most uncomfortable stranger danger I think we've had on
It's the
show.
Craziest, that weirdest... Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't
Choose
Make Me
Your
Come
Adventure.
Back There.
Choose Your Own Adventure. Let's go. My name, funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm stand-up comedian, the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me in our state-of-the-art recording studio above in La Mesa, California, my lovely wife, my co-host. And God, it makes me so happy when you're wearing something I picked out.
Yes.
Melissa Nickerson. Mm-hmm. I also picked out Andy's outfit.
Really?
You guys,
FaceTime.
Here at the, you know, I decided this is my time to become a real demanding host. Is that you guys, like...
you are doing wardrobes?
Well, Billy Corgan kind of infamously did this with the Smashing Pumpkins. I don't know that he chose wardrobe. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if he did.
But he gave them all looks.
He wanted all a look. He wanted, and if you go back to, you know, peak era Smashing Pumpkins, they had a look. Each person had a look, and they had a vibe, and they were a very aesthetically interesting band.
Yeah.
And also, he was an egomaniac, and it fell apart. But... I don't even know who's in the band now. I think Jimmy's in it. I don't know who's in the band anymore, but...
Yeah, everyone except...
Marcy?
Marcy,
there you go.
Yes,
yeah.
Everyone but Marcy.
You know, that's the nice thing. Sometimes you stick around long enough that your bands, they're great, and then they fight, and they break up, and then they age, and they're like, hey, you know, we gotta work, man. This is my favorite theory right now on the Oasis reunion is that the brother was going through a divorce. He's like, hey, we need to add some dates.
Is that true? That he's going through a divorce?
It's all speculation. Oh, that's true. Yeah. But
and being like, yeah, you know what? Rock and Roll Hall of Fame does sound kind of great.
It does sound pretty great now at the at this stage. So, but anyways, thanks for tuning in. The point is I chose Melissa and Andy as an aesthetic choice.
You did find this shirt, which is funny. And you do match the wall today.
Oh, I do. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is Joel's excited about this. This is some old like Keith Haring graphics, old Skate or Die type stuff. This is just an exceedingly 90s shirt.
Oh my god.
Joel's impressed by it. So I told him, you know, I'll do what I usually do, which is get a wear or two and then just pass it around. Listen, the world is expensive right now. Mm-hmm. And if I could just get all of my family to fit into the same size shirt.
Then we could just rotate
then
every
we could
day.
We're doing it. We're getting close. We're getting close.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they do get passed around. We've had a couple items that have hit all five of us.
It's a weird phenomenon.
They'll go to me, to you, to Joel, to Gloria, to Claire, and then to Andy. Andy gets them eventually. So thanks for tuning in, everybody. We appreciate you being there in the back seat.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a weekend before I get into my weekend, we got some nice gifts here. One, when so I did that little off the record thing for Sub Pop, and they gave me a vinyl of it, which is nice.
So nice.
Mm-hmm. It is very nice. I wish I could be
a vinyl guy.
No, I mean, I wish I could. I like vinyl. What I think vinyls are cool to display. That's what I like about vinyls, because it's like it's a good memory of artwork being important. Like what. Mm-hmm. The rise of the
music. Yeah.
One thing that, you know, Spotify is very interesting. It's like an interesting social study.
Yeah.
And as artists, I would love your thoughts on this. And that what it has done is it's given more art to the consumer, but it's taken more money away from the artist immediately. Yes. Mm-hmm. But it could take them to a different level altogether. Because they can get streamed so much more now, and your music's so much more accessible. But it is, in small ways, it's taken away things like, it's taken some of the artistic nature of an album.
Mm-hmm.
Albums aren't what they once were, and that you would just sit down with an album and it told a story, and it had an arch, and it had Easter eggs, and it had segues, and it was like it had builds within it. It was about you. It wasn't about the chapter, it was about the book, and part of it was the cover of the book.
Yeah.
And it was so fun to go through, you know, and your favorite artist would come out with like a double, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is what I'm doing for the next couple of weekends, you know? So like, this is just good art. And and when things were on records and CDs, they but I mean,
shine a little bit more.
I also like I you know, as a kid who would have loved to listen to more music, like when I was a kid, but we didn't have money, and that way I support Spotify. Because it's like, hey, this just gets more art into the people's hands, because records were so expensive. It was expensive to buy a CD.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I had like four CDs as a kid.
Yeah. And records are expensive now. CDs are actually, people forgot that CDs were expensive. It'd be like, you get like, it'd be like $18.
Yeah.
Like a 12 song, like CD.
And you're like, I don't like the Chili Peppers that much.
But I actually took Sunny to like a little daddy daughter date, and I took her to the record store in Carlsbad.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm like, let's go look at records. Like, this is what I used to do. And it's great because it feels like this is what record stores feel like, what it's supposed to feel like, you know? And, and for that same thing, like, I had to hold myself back from spending $100 on like a 25th anniversary album release that was like a book with a double record. And I'm like, I want this so bad, like as an artist. I'm like, I can't spend this right now. I did end up buying like a record of like, oh, this was one of my favorite albums, and I realized I never owned it on vinyl. So I realized, I'm like, oh, I want to start doing that. I actually want to go back and start rebuying albums that I had like on CD during the CD era, but I never had the vinyl for them.
So
that's my new journey. But I bought her like the Michael Jackson soundtrack album, and she just loved having it in her
hand. It's fun to have physical media.
Hold.
I think it's important. I think it's really important.
There's a picture of 5-year-old me holding up a VHS of the TMNT movie. 5-year-old me, I got it on my birthday. I've been chasing that high ever since. And I'm wearing a Ninja Turtle sweatshirt in it. And I'm like, I'm holding it with two hands. I'm holding it.
Is there some, I'm curious.
Little did I know, a couple weeks later, I was going to get bit in the face. And then a few months later, my parents were going to get divorced. But in that moment,
the world was right.
That movie was going to mean more to me than I could ever imagine.
Is there something to the fact that, like, novelty toys and all of that has like risen over the past like 15 years, because it's like you can't just look at a novelty toy online and get the same excitement.
Yeah.
You got to physically hold.
Right.
But unfortunately, like, the music industry is like died.
Well, this is a good,
that kind of thing.
This is a good segue into something else that somebody just gave me. It wasn't just music, it was also video games.
Yes.
So somebody, I mean, I have the kindest, most gracious, good fans and supporters who bring me the coolest stuff. So this is the, 94, 96, the King Griffey, which I think is the best sports video game of all time, just because it was the thing that came out when I was a kid. And in it, you know, you would get the game, and it also, maybe this isn't
cartridge.
It. Yeah, you would get the physical cartridge, and they would come Like, this one came with a baseball collector card inside, and it would have a pamphlet, and there was something, and you, I can just remember the physical feeling of going, like, ka-kunk, and it's, like, putting it in the...
Yeah, because once I saw it, I remember...
Yeah. And then you, but you just go, like, now it's like, oh, can I get this game? Okay, I have it. It's downloading.
All right. Ask your parent.
Yeah. Mom, Dad, can I get this game? You can. Okay. What's your credit card number?
No, you like request it. Right?
Yeah.
And they go approved or denied.
Yeah. Look at you, lipstick on the cup.
Listen.
Oh my gosh, you're like
relax,
a different. I've never known you as a lipstick on the cup girl.
Well, I only wear it for the podcast.
Are you trying to seduce me?
I had to pound that because I didn't during BTS.
Yeah. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I do think there is something to that. I think that maybe it's, you know, our generation in theory coming into, like, it's an era of millennial nostalgia, you know, because it's kind of like we're the ones making the movies and stuff now. That's like, mm-hmm. you know, so like records.
We rule the world now.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. record stores, like we did go to record stores. They were CD. I mean, but Tower Records had CDs, but it was still a store you would go to. But yeah, I mean, what have been the movies this year? He-Man, Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter's coming out, Devil Wears Prada, Freakier Friday. I mean, it's all millennial nostalgia, baby. Just let us.
There's another Freaky Friday?
The last one that came out.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
Okay,
Freakier
like,
Friday.
That's but right. That's
era.
Right. Like, yes.
Era.
We're in the era of millennial nostalgia.
I felt like He-Man was late, personally. I feel like He-Man feels a little late.
Well, they had the cartoon, or they're working. No.
I'm surprised it took this long to make it.
Yeah.
Mario.
Mario, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Toy Story 75.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which one are we up to?
Six or seven.
Yeah. 41-year-old millennial Andy in Toy Story 5.
I just saw a whack like conspiracy theory around Toy Story and the Colorado Avalanche, the hockey team. That like every time a new Toy Story was coming out and every time they're in the playoffs, they won. And the guy was like pinning it to all of the releases.
Yeah.
Now granted, at the end of it, you're like, wait, you totally skipped over 3 and 4, and like it didn't work out, so it's not true. But I just thought that was really
Toy Story. Go ahead. What were you saying?
Didn't you look up that Toy Story came out in 98?
We did look this up.
We did
I forgot
it one time.
Or late 90s. So it's 20 years.
Well, it was. We were looking up. Tom Hanks went on the most incredible run of acting in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. It's, you know, Philadelphia, Forrest Gump, Apollo 13, Catch Me If You Can, Castaway, like Toy Story, That Thing You Do. Like, there's some underrated ones.
Sleepless in Seattle.
Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, it just one after another.
It just went on an incredible run, so.
Well, I think that's because I was texting my friend this. The millennial, it's a trend. Millennials, it's time to pick your midlife crisis.
Oh, right.
So, bird watching, needlepoint, pickleball, just one more baby, sourdough,
just
wellness
baby.
Girly. You know, it's all the same. Gardening, cold plunging.
Yeah.
Substack.
What about stand-up comedy?
Backyard chickens. Book club. Yeah.
Backyard chickens.
Backyard ducks.
A midlife crisis or just my whole life crisis?
Yeah. I was going to say, Annie.
Oh, run a marathon. Good luck with your knees. But just because, I mean, we're geriatric or we're the older millennials.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll be 42 next month. So
yeah,
we're inching.
Oh, my.
Inching along.
I'm a zennial elder here.
Yeah. I went into, yesterday I was up in LA and I did Rob Riggle's podcast and I drove up into their parking lot and I was like looking in this tree and the producer came out. I was like, Dustin, here's the place. What are you doing? I go, you got this crazy falcon in there.
He's like, what's wrong with him?
And I go, I've been trying to ID it. And, you know, I'm like taking a picture and I think I know what it is based on the birds that I'm able to look up. But I can't ID it unless it makes a noise. And I don't think it's going to do it because, you know, they're so stealthy. But it's, you know, birds of prey in this area, you know, based on the beak, I think it's a falcon. And he's like, Okay, so...
Did you want to come in?
That's what your midlife crisis is and I'm like, well, yours is podcasting, so don't judge me.
Yeah. Well, when you talk about the crests.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the the chests or whatever, yeah.
You know, I told you my, you know, I'm going to, it hit me this year. I'm like, I'm spring training guy now. I'm going. And they have they have music festivals at them. They had what was it? They had Innings Fest, and you're like, who's playing? Switchfoot, perfect, fantastic news. So that's mine. You know, speaking of baseball, this is so I had a fan in Atlanta. Sometimes people will come and give you cards, which is nice. Like people have given me really nice cards, like. Like some really fun ones. This is like, and these are, like, this is pretty an insane run of cards this person gave me. So, like, there's just a lot of cool ones here. Like, this is, am I here? Just like, for those, this is Kevin Mitchell, Griffey, and Buehner. This is like a Randy card. But then, like, he, like, he also gave me like a Randy Johnson rookie card.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
Expos. Shout out Expos.
Shout out Expos.
Just like a bunch of the cool, like tops, like, you know, kind of like, you know, flare ones, which were fun. And I'm sorry. This is why, no, it is funny. This is why you put these in these cases, you know, because of dunces like me. But there's, this is all disorganized. You guys, I had a long day yesterday. But this is a Griffey rookie as well. Which is insane,
Man.
Yeah, when you look on the back, there's
that's
no stats.
Wild.
Ken made his professional debut at Bellingham in 1987. He played in San Bernardino and Vermont in 1988, which is just so fun that it says when you look on the back. And then
wow, there's
and then
else.
There's also I believe this is a rookie Mariner Edgar rookie. I think he said it was, at least. I'm not sure which. I mean, it ends up my whole vibe is Edgar, young Edgar.
Oh my gosh.
Mustache Edgar.
Yeah. Amazing.
I didn't know this until right now that my whole, you know, I was just, as I age, I'm going to a young Edgar Martinez. So yeah, these are awesome. Big, so cool.
While you're there, I want to bring up, do you know, like, do you understand the Montreal Expos, like, logo? Because it's like, it's, you know.
Yeah, I've never understood it. It's like a bead.
Show almost. I was going to say, show it to Mel real fast. Because it's like, it is like, retrospectively now, when I look back at like 90s baseball, like, or 90s logos, I'm like, I'm always like, oh my gosh, some of these are really good. But we don't, like, they don't get talked about enough. So like,
yeah,
I did see one recently on the Expos.
Oh yeah.
And I was
it's
like.
It's a great logo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
I'm wearing an Expos shirt in that Looney Tunes video. That's
so it is. Basically,
that's why people are mad. Canadian.
Oh, here we go. Hold on, let me share this. I want to get through with Mel to explain this. The
I gotta have to retire that flannel. Got too many views.
There we go. Okay. So basically, it's three letters, but they're not in order. Because when I used to look at it, I'm like, "What is that? I don't even understand what this image is."
But yeah.
An M for Montreal in here. When you
where's the M?
Ooh, I see it now.
Yeah, when you extract them by color, they show up. So it's like it's an M right here, the two that looks like two L's.
I don't see the M.
It's
hold
like
on.
A little tail and then out. So
The
E is for Expos. So it's Montreal Expos baseball.
Oh wow.
Isn't that something?
That is something.
That's a cool logo.
Like, that is so much better done than the Wazoo Cougar. Yes. Do you know that logo?
Yeah.
Pull out the WSU logo. That is so.
That's just one that you stare at.
That is
for
one
a very
that.
Long time. Yeah.
So that Cougar. There's a WSU in there when you can see.
Yeah. WS that they use.
This, to use the children's mantra, the Gen Z mantra, they thought they ate with that.
Oh,
I mean, it was a nice thought.
Yeah.
It's an interesting, attempt, but the Expos one is a work of art.
That's what I mean. Like, I didn't know that, and I saw someone break it down. I'm like, that's it. I always used to look at them and be like, I don't understand this.
I still don't think it's still an awesome logo. I don't think the M is accentuated enough.
Right.
It starts at the beginning of the white. You said?
No, the whole thing is an M, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
It's part of, like, the E.
Yeah.
Like, how, how they have, like, tails. Like, how an M would...
It looks like a D and a B next to each other is what it looks like, you know?
Now, that, you know, just while we're on that, have you been able to see, like, the Hartford Whalers logo? So this is known as one of, like, the best sports logos.
Right. Because I see the H.
See the H.
In the gray, and then the whale, and then the whale tail.
So you got, you got the W in the green.
Yeah.
The H is negative, and the whale tail, like, at the top. Like, it is chef's kiss of a logo.
Yeah, I see all of it. I just still don't like the way it looks.
Fair enough. Yeah.
But you know what, Mel? Art is subjective.
That's right.
Well, and logos are very, very polarizing. Yeah. Mm.
They are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't want to expand on that. Oh. someone got you coffee.
Someone got me coffee as well.
That's great.
Which also, this will tie in. I'm excited to try it. This is one of their favorite ones, Dustin and Mel. This is from our patrons, so the Walkers, Naomi and Jacob. Lost Kitchen Blend, North Coffee, roasted in Deer Island, Maine.
Oh, my. But where did they see you?
Birmingham, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Or Atlanta, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I forget.
The South.
Smells great. It
smells really
good. Though, and this is kind of turning into a Remember the 90s episode, and I'm into it. This feels like 90s coffee shop look to me. Yeah,
100%.
You know?
The paper bag.
The paper bag, right?
Yeah.
Just a printed logo on the paper bag.
Yes, that was a moment. I don't know. Now it's more plastic?
I don't know. Yeah. Well, now there's high science to the coffee bag now.
Yeah,
and that it's all about the seal, you know, like like Starbucks, to their credit, will put a lot of effort to seal in that flavor of
freshness.
Terrible coffee.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to taste good, but it will be properly sealed.
But it will smell exactly how it smelled when they packed it.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
No matter what.
I can get away with the smell, but the taste. There's some good coffee shops. I've had quite a... We haven't talked a lot about my cities and tour dates, you know, had quite a run. The Portland shows, Vancouver was great.
You went
Vegas,
to Montana.
I went to Montana. I went a little viral in Montana, that little thing that I did. Spokane, Northwest hit so hard. Mm-hmm. The funny thing is, so that Looney Tunes bit, which we'll talk a little bit, like, went insane over the weekend. Here's what I know, something has really gone to the next level when I'm getting texts about it. When people go like, my dad sent me this, or I saw this, or this, I saw this write-up, or you,
and
you know.
It was from your Portland show.
It was from those Portland shows, So that's when you know it's gone into like a different, like,
level.
Realm of
exactly. I don't remember what made me think of that, but it's not what I wanted to talk about. We were in Vegas, and then this last weekend I was in Atlanta, and I was in Birmingham, Alabama, and then yesterday I was in Los Angeles. I have news.
What?
There is good, I have dairy-free updates.
All right.
I understand this is going to sound pretentious and unrelatable, the start of this sentence. Please know that the only reason that I have access to the Delta Lounge is because I travel so much. I'm the poorest person in the history of the Delta Lounge. I was the second I walked in there. I still am. But I just put up miles that these businessmen can't even imagine.
Yeah.
So it's not a wealth thing. It is a status thing, a Delta status thing. But they had a dairy-free yogurt, and I had not... Dairy-free yogurt hits.
You haven't had yogurt in 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Dairy-free yogurt, whatever it hits, and I used to eat so much yogurt with granola and fruit, and I was like, oh my God, I got yogurt back.
Nice.
Huge. Huge. I mean, remember, that was another thing, like, we were the yogurt was pushed pretty heavy on us.
Oh, yeah.
As, like, the health food, right?
Yes.
Yoplait was
gigantic.
That was like a huge like commercial. Ooh, and fat free and like, you know, yeah, like the whole.
It was a way for moms to lose weight.
Yes.
And a thing for moms to put in their kids' lunches in the 90s.
It was like that tall, skinny carton.
Yoplait said to the mom in the 90s, I'm the only thing you need. You're going to lose some weight with me. And I'm going to put this in. That's how I remember it. It was like Yoplait and Special K were like.
And Slim Fast.
And Slim Fast.
Yeah.
And
'90s.
You used to take a little peach Yoplait to school every day.
In what school?
High school. Yeah. You had a peach Yoplait.
I did eat yogurt. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know how you would have known that. That's why
I was dating you.
I know, but we didn't go to the same school.
I was dating you. I was in a relationship with you.
You just remember that.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I believe you.
And you had a peach yogurt and they had the little toppings in it.
I did like peach. Oh, man.
I just kept saying things. You didn't sleep well last night.
The whole lunch world of that era was that balance of like, eat fat free, all these things, and at the same time, we're going to make your food out of whatever.
Whatever. Because
now, in, I don't know, the last 10 years, everyone's like, hey, yogurt has a ton of sugar in it.
I was going to say, is yogurt actually good for you?
Well, Greek yogurt came in, and Andy and his milk podcast.
Oh, right. Yeah, raw yogurt.
Yogurt goes the whole gamut. But yeah, in the 90s, like, there was nothing healthier than a bagel, a Yoplait yogurt, and a bunch of granola.
Yeah, we learned a lot about bagels over the years.
Wash that down with a big glass of Minute Maid juice. Have diabetes at 24.
And then in the 2000s, it was like, you should have half and half, you know?
Oh, right.
Remember Atkins?
Oh, yeah.
It's like,
yikes. No carbs.
No carbs, but cream, basically.
Yeah.
And so it was like non-fat, sugar. And then it was like full cream.
Right.
And
that's where we're at now.
Meat.
Yeah.
We're on the full opposite side on that. All the big like health, MAHA influencers. It's like all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All meat. So. Yeah, it's like definitely the pendulum has swung. It's interesting. But yeah, Greek yogurt is huge now.
Yeah, Greek yogurt.
Greek yogurt is going in everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have a moderate take. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
You ready for a health hot take?
Yeah.
If you eat a balanced diet with a normal amount of calories and don't do anything too excessive, you'll probably be fine.
Yeah. No, I remember.
Like, you don't.
How dare you?
You don't need raw milk or raw meat.
Ends up, this is all marketing.
Yeah. I bet you could get most of what your body needs from fruit and vegetables and protein. I bet it's in there. I bet a handful of nuts goes a long way for some omegas.
I remember our youth pastor in high school. He used to joke how eggs were, you know, bad.
Yeah.
And then they got really good.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just very interesting.
Yeah, like, they were also using that a way to disprove science. That's, you know, they're like, well, they used to say this is good. And then it's like, we got new information, man. But
it's like when we found out that there was salt and ketchup.
Yeah.
We're like, what?
I mean, someone say last week that you're only supposed to eat meats that eat vegetarian. I was like, that's not true.
I saw one. I saw some people responding to, because Billie Eilish did a thing about like how you can't love animals and eat meat. And someone had like a very thoughtful response, which is like, hey, man, like eating vegetarian and vegan is a pretty enormous financial privilege. Like everything's really expensive and a lot of people are in a bad spot. So like, let's not get into the morale, the ethics of eating. and diet, because there are just like larger issues at play before you can get to a lot of things have to happen in your life and your circumstances that determine what's on your plate.
Yeah.
And having like you getting the nutrients and stuff that you need, like fresh vegetables are not cheap.
And they don't stay
and,
long.
And, how many
and it's not where you get, yeah, exactly. It's,
dye,
yeah, right.
Make plant-based food.
And fresh fruit and vegetable is also not what you're getting from the state, and it's not what you're getting from, you know, like food kitchens, and it's not what you're getting,
you're getting,
you know,
shelf-stable.
If you're going to the pantry, the food pantry in your neighborhood. Like, there's a lot at play here before we, you know, before you get to that. So,
but it makes sense. It's like a huge industry.
And yeah.
It makes sense.
I do think, and again, this is, you and I have talked about this, but it does kind of hit this theme that we're on here. Looking back on what we were told for 90s health food is so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
Well, Kool-Aid was supposed to be like, you're like, this has less sugar than Coke.
Well, and then if you had...
And you're like, okay.
Well, and that was just the sugar in the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
You would add sugar to the Kool-Aid as well.
Right. Exactly. I mean, you have to choose how much sugar. That's what.
No, the whole point was like it's better than for you than Coke.
Yeah,
if you have, you know, Coca-Cola, self-control, this could be helpful.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, and a lot of red dye. All.
Oh my god. Yeah.
So. Now that takes us to a conversation around like there's a lot of I saw something that was like it was the pictures of like what happened to our world of color. And it was images of like the 90s and the 2000s, and everything is colorful. Like houses, toys, stores.
X Games logo.
Everything. X Games, Xbox logo. And then on the right was all the new like design and
beige
all,
mom.
All gray. And I was like, legit, I was like, this actually makes me sad.
They actually call it millennial gray.
Right.
Like the,
really?
The interior design.
Gray's my favorite color. I feel so symbolic. Yesterday, if I knew a Picasso, I would buy myself a gray guitar and play. Remember the 90s. Counting Crows.
Oh, man.
By the way, I don't...
the color and I miss the dye.
Yeah. Take this as somebody who had a...
Midlife crisis is me.
Yeah.
It's in a corner eating a lot of snack food from the 90s. And a kitchen and a chicken themed kitchen.
Oh, I mean, my treat to myself is Honey Bunches of Oats, because that was like the good cereal when we got
cereal.
When we would get that and
there's grains in there.
Yeah. My dad would get like the off brand one, you know.
Bit of oats.
Yeah. No, there wasn't even. No, it was always honey. Some rough name. Yeah. It was some oats.
Oats and.
All right. But yeah, like that's what we called HBO in our house was the Honey Bunches of Oats. But I don't remember where I was going with that. But it is. It's just
dairy.
A different time.
You were talking about you had talked about finding dairy, not dairy for yogurt.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just again, just the food period, the food pyramid.
Yeah.
Dare. I mean, it's just take it as somebody who went viral this weekend, talking about something from the past. Like sometimes you look back on your past and you go, "Gosh, everything was so much better then," and the. There is some selective memory there, but also what you're doing is you're remembering a time where you didn't know all the world's problems like you do now.
It's childhood.
Childhood.
You have a limited scope.
And pre-internet.
Yeah.
You would watch the news.
Yeah.
You know, you would just see what happened, or you would read, back in the day, you would just read the newspaper, and you're like, well, that's what happened today. Now let's go back to my life. You know, my work, and now it's just like an inundated, you know, like, what's the word?
Inundated
with just like, oh, this terrible thing happened here, and this terrible thing
happened.
You get
alerts on your phone,
You're just a little more aware of the problems, that's all. And also, you're not a kid, which you're, you know, in 1996 was a good year because it was summer, and I had a girlfriend. And that's all I needed, and I had a bike. Simpler times. Also,
so it was better. I'm kidding.
It was better. Yeah. So, another dairy-free update, and this is coming from someone who just dairy hurts me. There is a dairy-free cheese that exists that tastes good.
Yeah.
This is not going to surprise you at all. It's in Silver Lake,
which is the hipster,
the pretentious neighborhood
in LA,
Los Angeles,
just for
California.
Anyone
in space land.
If you haven't been, now you know.
Because I had quite a day yesterday. So, I woke up.
You tried to do the impossible
on Thursday, and I accomplished it on Thursday. On Thursday last week, I woke up in San Diego. I flew to Atlanta. Nathan Owens picked me up, who opened for me this weekend. Very funny. We drove to Birmingham, did a show in Birmingham, went to Seeds Coffee in Birmingham. Very good.
Good.
Yeah. They had the single origin Ethiopian on brew, which I was excited about. Yeah, it was their batch brew that day.
Gas station?
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, there's one just like that in Indiana. It's easy to spot real quick if you just go up to the whoever's at the counter and you go, "What's your batch brew today?" And they know the answer. If they know what that means, you're like, "I'm in the right spot." And if there's a little menu there, it's great. So, do the Movie Ruiners podcast, which is a fun podcast. We did an episode on Iron Man. So then we drive to Atlanta, which is not, do two shows in Atlanta, wake up, do two shows on Saturday in Atlanta. Sunday, wake up, do a pod. I did the Hot Breath pod. It's like a comedy podcast that this guy Joel Byers does, and that'll be coming. All this will be coming out soon. And then do a show Monday morning. So now it's yesterday back in our timeline. I wake up in Atlanta. Nathan very generously gives me a ride to the airport because, as numerous comedians have made this joke, when you're in Alpharetta, it's a ways outside. You know, for here it would be Escondido, where you're just like, I mean, that's a 45 minute haul for me. Saturday I went to, I saw Aaron Chuning, former backseater, and Beth Pilgreen was there, the Kirkwood, which is like the cool, it's the Silver Lake of Atlanta, so I could, and that was fun, but anyway, so I wake up, fly Atlanta to San Diego, get in my car my van, Aunt Sandy, our 2012 Honda Odyssey, drive it to LA. I do Rob Riggle's podcast, which was super fun. Nice guy. We connected online and stuff, did the pod. And then I drove to Silver Lake. Eliza Schlesinger has a workout show, which is just like you have to do new material. And she starts it off great. She's like, you know, she's like, it's a Friday night at the Comedy Store with 300 people. You don't want to be like, here are my new ideas, or on her touring and stuff. So I did the workout show there. I got there and I was hungry. And they didn't have a ton of options, but they had like some flatbreads and they had like a veggie one. And I looked and there was like a vegan mozzarella. And I'm like, well, if there's anywhere that's going to have it, it's going to be Silver Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, it was delicious. It was unbelievable. It was very, very good. I wouldn't have known.
Yeah.
So it exists. Mm-hmm. I don't, it will, you know, spread, I'm sure, like to San Diego eventually.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I don't know that I would find it here yet. I don't know.
You just got to get up to Encinitas.
Is that where it is?
Yeah, you just got to get into.
Yeah,
more,
I mean, it might be in North. Yeah, it might be in North Park as well. But
yeah,
I can't imagine telling, you know, back to '90s Dustin that you're gonna be looking for a dairy free cheese. Not even a thing that you could want to exist. Nobody would.
Cheese is healthy.
Yeah. Would you like a? Would you like a air without oxygen?
When I had to go dairy-free, the one thing I found was Tofutti. It's like a tofu-based cheese.
Okay.
But their cream cheese is excellent. It's the only thing I'd recommend that I've tried that's like non-dairy cheeses. Tofutti cream cheese.
Yeah.
Hits. If you're looking for a cream cheese, like a bagel, that's going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about, you don't have to give a take on this, do you want to talk about our kids' high school and phones and the survey and stuff that went out?
I don't know that much about it.
Yeah.
I haven't read the book.
Well, I can just, we don't have to even talk, just as a general concept.
Yeah.
So when we were kids, the biggest distraction would be, in school, would be notes, a Tamagotchi.
Yeah, your classmates.
Yeah, your classmates. Yeah. A hat.
Yeah.
A hat was a big...
on your lunch bag.
Yeah. A hat was a big distraction. And then a kid falling asleep was a classic.
Yeah, the bell.
The bell.
Yeah. The intercom.
So toilet paper on the teacher's shoe. That would get you through.
Yeah.
You would be doodling.
Yeah. Any object that you could throw in the ceiling that would stick.
Yeah, like gum. Gum was a big one.
Yeah, I think we used to take the little. Did you ever do this? Take those big mechanical pencils, and you take a staple. You take off the tip, and you take a staple and bend half the staple and put it in like the little tip that squeezes. And you can pull it and like shoot staples.
Oh wow! No, so I never did that one.
To do that,
whoa!
Yeah.
It would always be like little staples.
Yeah. Yeah, kids back in the day, my dad's era, they were the paper airplanes, and then the throw the pencil into the ceiling thing.
Right. Mm.
That was their, you know, it was different times. Laser pointer.
Yeah. Laser pointer.
You could pick off your nail polish.
Wow. Oh my God. Thank God that you said that. So, I have a new stranger danger.
You could push back your cuticles.
Yeah.
Oh, you could do your split ends.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
There.
Gosh.
Hair twirling.
Yeah.
I feel like this is the beginning of some 80s movie where they're looking around the room and someone is doing some one of these.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As like the start. Is it Breakfast Club or something?
Maybe,
That has that.
Clueless definitely has some classroom scenes that are pretty hilarious.
Yeah. But I would just doodle or, you know, or write or
shake.
No, I mean, 100%, yeah.
If I grab
zone
me.
Out.
Get me out of here.
Zone out.
No, I'm just joking.
We all coped in our own way.
What?
I don't even remember how I got through, but anytime my kids complain about school, I'm like, listen, I get it. And it's going to, when you sit here and fantasize about being done, it's going to feel better than you could ever imagine. I'm still glad that I don't have to do it. But... Stranger danger. Okay, so I've seen people like bite their nails on planes before.
Sure.
And that is kind of gross, but also I get it. It can be a tick.
It's a habit.
It can be a habit.
Yeah.
New worst one that I've seen, biting somebody else's nails.
Oof.
What?
Melissa, I was on a flight from flight from Atlanta to San Diego yesterday. There were two people next to me. The wife was in the window, and then the husband was in the middle, and he was mostly just watching TikToks and scrolling the whole time, and I was like, I wonder if I'm going to show up, because I got a thing going pretty big right now. I'm like watching, and I was like, you probably already saw it. I mean, you know, it's like 12 million on Facebook or whatever.
He just feels awkward about
that. Yeah, yeah. Received enormously well, by the way. he was scrolling. The wife was sleeping. Everything seemed, he was like kind of being weird at one point. Like he kind of put his leg like in mine and hit mine. He's like, I'm so sorry. And I was like, he was kind of quirky. His wife was like sleeping like the whole flight. Everything seemed fine. And then at one point I realized she was like biting his nails. And I was like, whatever, I don't care. And then I looked over and I realized that was not his hand. His wife was asleep.
Wow.
And he grabbed her hand.
I hate this.
And she was wearing her, she was wearing a sleep mask. And I'm like, am I witnessing a crime? And he was just like nibbling her nails.
All of them?
All five of them down. Melissa, this story gets weirder. I know that you think that this is the weirdest that this story. And I was like, I can't believe that she doesn't notice this, that this is happening. This is so strange. Everything about this is like just giving me the heebie-jeebies. I hate this so much. He finishes all five all five. He like nibbles down, and then he puts her arm back. She reaches up her other hand and gives it to him, and he nibbles down the other five.
And now is he doing it in the front teeth or the side
front
teeth?
Oh.
On record, by far, the most uncomfortable stranger danger I think we've had on
this show. The craziest, weirdest. She wants him, like, listen.
Oh, good grief.
Whatever you got in your relationship is none of my business, and I'm not here to judge it. If your partner wants you to nibble down their nails, that's the grossest thing in the world to me. But if whatever you got a thing, who am I to judge?
But
that's the point. It's none of my business. And you have made this my business. I am in an aisle. And I'm like, unfortunately, I want to jump out of this plane, but you're blocking the exit.
Well, those...
He nibbled down 10 fingers. It took this this whole situation took 20 minutes. I'm sitting here like trying to get some work done. And he's like it's corn on the cob, like nibbling his fingers.
Oh my gosh. Plus, it's like you're traveling. Those hands are not clean.
No!
Cannot do this.
Corn on the cob like the little mini ones.
Yeah. It's the grossest thing in the world. I can't believe I had to see it. I was like, I'm not supposed to see this.
Exactly.
I'm not. Again, I'm not here. People's personal lives is their personal lives. It's none of my business.
It's not a plane.
This is public transportation, man.
Do this in your living room.
Yeah. It's my worst stranger danger I've had. And I've had some weird,
Okay, what was he doing with the nails? Like, did he spin them out?
I don't know. I didn't. I was trying not to look too close. I had the same thought. I was like,
do you have? He's flicking them on you.
Yeah, he's got a little spit cup.
Cutting to all the nails he's collected at home. He's carving statues out of them being compressed.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if this makes any sense, but there was an amount. I was when she handed him her other hand. I had like two equally strong emotions. One, oh my God, this is awful. I can't believe that was the first episode of a two-part series here. But also, I was relieved that she knew it was happening.
Yes.
That this was not against her will. You know, that he was just like, yay. And then she wakes.
Yeah, for originally, I'm like, you're going to wake her up. Why are you doing
this? Yeah.
And she's in on it.
Yeah, thank God. So she doesn't wake up her sleep mask and she's like, again? Again?
I told you to stop biting my nails. She's like, can you
Frank,
believe
we just went over this.
You did it again.
Listen, times are tight. Pedicures are expensive. Manicures. Anyways.
You know, sunflower seed.
Yeah.
Piece of gum. Let's be reasonable.
How do you feel about sunflower seeds on a plane?
If you're spitting in a cup, I'll be okay with it.
I don't love it, but it's better.
Yeah, it's better than nails. Yeah. I would not, if somebody was, as long as, it's so funny, I took that as a avid flyer and a lover of sunflower seeds, I'd be like, this is a serious question, let's discuss this.
Yes.
I knew you were like, No, if you were doing 2 to 3 seeds at a time, that's fine. Because you can do that quietly and respectfully.
You're like,
yeah. Yeah.
Crunch.
Yeah. As long as you
I'm not going to be happy, but
it's an ASMR part of it.
You wouldn't even notice. I would. It's sunflower seed. As long as you don't have a mouthful, it's quieter than a pretzel, and that's what they're handing out.
The turn of events would be a non-spitter. Would be someone who's actually just chewing them,
swallowing the seeds. Yeah, yeah. But if you were like going like,
right, they give you crunchy snacks.
Yeah, if you had a cheekful, I'd be like, what are we doing here, guys? Get some peach yogurt. Yeah. I can't believe you forgot.
I
remember. Part of the reason I remember it is because we were just fresh out of high school when we got married. So we just continued what you were eating at your high school lunches. And you were...
I was buying the groceries.
That was before your anxiety disorder got diagnosed. You would still go to Costco back in the day. And you would get the big thing of yogurts.
Mm-hmm. I would.
And Fred Meyer before that and such. But anyways, our daughter texted and that reminded me of where I was at. So we were talking about 90s school distractions.
Oh, yeah. So our kids' high school is... considering going phone free during the day. They already have like the phone pockets at high school.
Sorry.
What? Everything okay?
It is.
Okay.
Gloria texted, OMG, Dad, you hit 400K on IG. Good job. I'm so proud of you. And then with a crying smile face. When people ask me, what do your kids think of your career? That's it. You know what? Keep the phones in school.
let her watch a couple of, videos.
Yeah.
So they're considering going phone free. They had like a, a meeting on Thursday night.
Yeah.
And then they emailed the parents on Friday. So it's a charter school. So they do make a lot of, they don't have to fall under a school district for these kind of things. They can implement changes year by year. Jonathan Haidt has a book out called The Anxious Generation, and he has all these studies about phone-free schools. Like, our middle school is phone-free. You just keep it turned off in your backpack.
Right, right.
But he's talking about, like, passing periods and lunch and how kids are missing a lot of, like, interactions with peers and for focus in school.
Right.
It's kind of, there's still the benefits and the science, like with the phone free schools and high school is still all out there. And you got to think like college and career, you're going to have to self monitor.
Yeah.
Anyways, but I remember so distinctly in 2002 or 2003 when everyone had iPods. And we would get out of class in college and everyone would put their headphones in.
Oh, yeah.
And start walking.
Oh, my gosh.
Like a soundtrack, a personal soundtrack.
I couldn't believe it. I would walk around Red Square listening to Mute Math.
At the University of Washington.
Which that one Mute Math album goes with Typical and all the, oh my God.
But it was very weird. It was eerie.
It
was silent.
There is a strong argument that I've held this theory before and I don't know. It's an interesting one to like explore. Like, the rise of selfism and individualism and main character syndrome did come from the fact that in the early 2000s, suddenly our little movie had a soundtrack in our ears everywhere I went, and riding the bus felt like an indie movie. Because you could turn on the soundtrack.
With an MP3 player.
You're like, no, yeah. I'm listening to the Garden State soundtrack, also a banger.
Yes, by the way.
And so I'm in Garden State. Yeah, we had a soundtrack to our lives,
and it made it feel... very individualized.
Yeah.
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 Because it's just so weird to remember high school where we didn't have that.
Yeah.
And then college where we did.
Yeah.
You know?
It's wild because for me, I didn't have an iPod. iPods didn't come out when I was in college. So it's like I got an iPod when I finally, like, mid being in the band era. And it wasn't.
How old are you, Andy?
44.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. You would ask me.
Talking about the turning point because it's like I remember being excited about getting in my car so I could finally listen to music because I wasn't going to carry around
a CD. Oh, wow.
Your CDs.
So
yeah.
It was like.
So your soundtrack was in your car.
Yeah. So my life was going to and from commuting to college, but then also living like early band life and like just being around and being a young adult and just like all of that. So it's like my memories of any kind of music.
Yeah,
it's always in transportation,
man.
So it's like it's you're talking about it. I'm like, I didn't. I'm like, wait, I didn't have that experience.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when I finally got access to an iPod, I got it from a friend, but it was really just so the car was easier to listen to songs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Man, I just remembered, out of nowhere, I just remembered that, like, I got, like, almost got, like, chills thinking about it. That, like, 3 seconds of, like, you put the CD in and you were waiting for it to start.
Oh, yeah.
And then the first note would hit. Like, I know a lot of first notes to a lot of albums just because you were like, here it comes. And then you would start driving because there was something to, and I don't want to romanticize it and that like things are better or worse now, but this is part of the reason that I listen to the radio is I like spontaneity.
Yeah.
I like show me something I haven't heard before. It's part of why, it's part of the reason that you should see openers. You just go like, show me something I don't know, because Spotify will give you like new releases, but if you put on the DJ, it's still kind of putting stuff that it knows you like, and even the radio feature is not it's still giving you things it knows you like, whereas radio will just give you an old thing you forgot you loved.
Right.
You know, like you're like, oh man.
You mentioned this earlier. We didn't get too far down the road on it, but like just that, yeah, like the modern Spotify experience is homogenized the musical experience.
Yeah.
Just suggesting what you like based on bands that sound like
it. Yeah.
The beauty of that era or like a record store was like buying something because the cover looked cool.
Yeah.
And you realized, oh, I just bought the first Mars Volta.
Yeah.
What am I listening to?
Yeah.
Suddenly you're like, I do kind of like it because you're getting curated by the record store owner.
And it wasn't all for better for the record, because even the bands that we know and love, a lot of them were pushed as pay for play. Like there's this theory that's coming out right now about like of like a lot of the things that go viral didn't go viral. They were paid to go viral, not paid sponsors, that they paid influencers to go to those things, post about those things, Bieber's Coachella set or whatever. Like they're using those. It's like, that's how you, like Lizzo's been going on this rant about right now about, she's like, I can't get my stuff seen on this algorithm. And there, it's not, as soon as agents and record labels and studios can get involved, and they will, as soon as they can manipulate the new thing, like, And radio DJs were the old version of this,
right.
Where they would have like, hey,
gatekeepers.
There was a gatekeeper. Yeah. So it wasn't always as pure as you'd like to think that it was. Oh, 100%.
I mean, that's Pearl Jam's whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, like Clear Channel's involvement in the entire radio programming is why it was the same then. That's why radio and Spotify are so similar. And
yeah.
Forgot that.
Yeah.
It's like, no, like so much of radio was paid for by large sponsorship and only got played for a lot of bands, even though it wasn't direct payola. Like,
yeah.
The DJ, but the station was involved in all kinds of partnerships.
I would like to take this moment to give a shout out to Brian Regan, who is one of the biggest comedians of all time, and did it in one of the most pure ways that like almost never happens. He had a CD we all loved, and we would burn it and we would pass it around, but it was the true version of organic, because there was no radio pay for comedians at the time. It was so rare that an artist, and that's how you do build this like sustained thing.
I also attached Dane Cook to that too. I think, like, I feel like,
right, yeah,
like we're on the same.
Yeah, but
like,
Dane got a Comedy Central special.
Sure.
And now Dane, this is all due respect to Dane.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But Dane had a mainstream push Regan did not.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, I know about Dane Cook's comedy special.
Dane was in movies. Yeah. Dane was on SNL. Dane had a Pixar movie. Dane was in the Planes movie, I think. Like,
but this was after. That's all after.
That's what I'm saying. But yeah, after. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. He blew up on social. Dane was an early adapter to social media, too. I think it was MySpace.
Okay.
He was a very early adapter, and he did well on and you're the age where the college was like pushing it as well.
Yeah.
So it was it was a mix of him.
Mm-hmm.
Regan didn't have that. Mm-hmm. And Regan just had Brian Regan Live. He just had a CD we all loved. And it just, you know, and he got Comedy Central as well. He was out there, but they are different in that regard. But it just, all of this, like, Dane is a good opportunity that was growing like that, and then people are like, how can I make some money off this, you know, and then he and Dane reached levels that like some comics reach now, but at the time was like unheard of.
For
you
sure.
know?
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. yeah, it is. I don't know. That's
well,
an,
I was.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was thinking about how important radio DJs were for a lot of comics.
They were curators. Yeah.
In the maybe the 2000s or maybe a little before after that, like you were talking about like Bob and Tom.
The mountain. Yeah.
Bob, oh, Bob and Tom, Tom yeah. for yeah. Berbiglia.
Especially college radio station.
Yeah.
I mean, those were like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the mountain in Seattle or Washington State.
The 520
for,
funny.
Gaffigan.
Gaffigan, yeah.
And just
yeah.
growing a comic in a market. I mean, Gaffigan's a New Yorker.
Yeah.
But he got like all this radio play.
You would turn to 103.7 Mountain at 520 for the 520 funnies. And they would just cool. play a comedy album, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That was, but now it's, again, it's all, I mean, all these radio stations are owned by like three companies, so.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. and then you get online and you'll be like, oh, cool. So the promoter has an in with the theater, who has an in with the ticket sales, who has an in with the agency. Great. I mean, you and I will see it.
Yeah.
We'll go, oh, why are they playing this theater? Do you really want to know? Do you really want to know why they're
yeah.
playing that theater?
Excited.
Because their agency yeah. has a deal with Live Nation, and mm-hmm. that is a Live Nation venue, not a Outback venue or whatever it may mm-hmm. be. It is truly as
and
simple.
And they got a tour contract.
And yeah. they got a tour yeah. contract.
Promoter
so,
and, yeah.
anyways, take me back to a pre-era where... And then I hold this up and you're like, baseball and Nintendo.
Yeah, I do think this is kind of like a millennial nostalgia.
This is 100%
episode.
Millennial nostalgia.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go mm-hmm. get some yogurt.
Sorry, not to kill. Were we going somewhere with the phones in school that was different than this result?
It doesn't matter. The episode's over. Bye.
Bye, Todd. Bye.
Hey everybody, thanks for listening. We want to give a special shout out to our As Essential As Oils patrons. That's our $25 a month and up. Our highest givers, thank you so much. First off, Alex Foods and Sam Graham.
Avril Griffiths.
Allison Nelson.
Andy and Darlene Gerton.
Bonnie Galindo.
Brandon Schoenberger.
Brian and Amy Nagel.
Byron Smith.
Carrie Teague.
Chris Finn.
Christopher and Bridget Finland.
Code to Grow.
Courtney Eibling.
Cynthia Carpenter.
Demarius Diaz Stevens.
Daniel Owens.
Dave and Melissa Cox.
Dave Hoagland.
Debbie Klein.
Dustin Daly.
Jason and Francis White.
Jonathan Rivera.
Jordan Cowan or Cohen? Cohen. Cohen, Cowan, Jordan, I'm never sure. I'm sorry.
Juliana Smith.
Christy Harrod or Herod. Herod, Harrod, I'm not sure. I'm covering my bases here. Hopefully not Herod, like, you know, King Herod. But, you know, people are getting a little extra on this one. Go ahead.
Lori Amos.
Lauren and Nick Rachel.
Nick Cordell.
Naomi Walker.
Preston and Rachel Wilson.
Restless Mosaic.
Robert and Nellie Capen.
Scott Elliott.
Stephen Mina.
Yvette Williams.
Zachary and Tammy Moyle.
Timothy Frey and Tiffany Payne.
Thank
Thanks, everybody.
You.